The Approaching the Natural Podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here. I am the host of this podcast, this weekly show, this little engine that could, that has been coulding for about 164 episodes, just roundabout 164 episodes. Here I am once again. I come here every week, and if you're just joining me, I'm glad you came here, and I hope that you I hope this speaks to you on some level. And for those of you who've come before, then you know that it's hopefully speaking to you on some level. Because again, don't waste your time. More on that in a few minutes. What do I do here? I talk about these kinds of things every week. Ready? Health and happiness. How to live better in the modern world. How to incorporate change. How to implement new behaviors, habits. How to make your life better. How to control your life. How to take control of your life. How to increase your self-esteem and self-confidence via creating action in your life. Real action. Real action. Busting through the myths of what things are in the world, exercise, healthy diets, busting through the myths of those things, teaching you guys to train yourselves to think in different ways, to have different perspectives on the kinds of things that we've accepted as fact, and now to put those into question and look at them in a different way than maybe you ever have before. Then you set the stage on that, and then you go, okay, here's what I want to change. Here's what I'm going to incorporate today. I'm going to try this thing today. This is about today. This is about literally this moment, even when you're listening to this podcast. This is you in your car, you running on a trail right now, you on a bicycle in the gym. This is about you at work. This is about you taking a moment to think for just a second about the life you want to live before the life that you are living just is done, frankly. How do we get moments of consideration that turn into action? I was just talking to a client today. It all comes down to what is going to enable you to actually act. What is going to enable you to make an action? And the conversation I had, by the way, is that sometimes the steps that I recommend or work with clients seem inconsequential. It's like, they get the basic concept that you got to start as small as possible to get you to actually do something. But when push comes to shove, the one deep breath that I have started many a client on, they get it conceptually. But then when they actually think about the one deep, look at their steps list, and they're sort of like this, well, that's ridiculous. And the reason why they think it's ridiculous, by the way, is because they're looking at the deep breath as what I'm selling them on it, which is as a meditation. But they're looking at that deep breath to say, okay, I want the results of meditation. And one deep breath ain't going to give me those results. And here's the thing. They're totally right. That one deep breath isn't going to give you the results of so-called meditation. It's not. That's not the point at this time. The point is that prior to putting that step of one deep breath, they were doing zero meditation. Guess what else wasn't giving them results? Not doing meditation. Guess what doesn't give you the results of healthy exercise? Not doing any exercise. Guess what starts the ball rolling to the point that you are somebody who meditates enough to get the benefits of meditation? To get you to the point where you are the person who exercises enough to get you the benefits of exercise. Guess what gets you to that point? Action. Starting something, anything. Right now, today, while you're listening to this podcast, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, one deep breath. This ain't no hippie, new agey, just any meeting that I've ever been in that starts with a chant or a breathing thing, I'm out of there. But bye-bye. I gotta go wash my hair. I'm busy, gotta watch. Before we start this meeting, can we all just join in a group chant? There's a 99.9% chance at that point that I have just thrown up in my mouth. I'm just saying that not by choice, it's just an involuntary kind of thing. What is the thing that gets us to begin a process whereby if we get used to action in a certain way, in a certain regard, in a certain category, let's just say exercise, that over time builds that thing in to where it's what we do, it's who we are, such that once it's who we are, then we can then ask the question, okay, now it's who I am. What can I do now in the context of my life to make this eventually get me to the point where I am getting the benefit of meditation or exercise or healthy eating or whatever that thing is? We want the results of the thing itself before we actually take the time and effort to create the habit that will eventually get us those things. And I said it 100,000 times, which is that nothing in this kind of model of true health and happiness is, you don't get it in 21 days. You don't get the actual, you might see a little hint of the benefit of meditation in 20 days, 21 days, but it's like, are you doing this for 5 years? Are you doing this for 10 years? Are you somebody who has meditated for years, and what kind of meditation is that? Don't even get me started on the sort of integrated, you know, aspects of meditation. I have met and know tons of people who do the meditation so-called in the morning and at night, but during the day, totally stressed. So part of the other small steps idea is to do those kinds of things because they're fantastic, but then also integrate moments throughout the day. That's why I'm a small stepper. That's what you'll hear me say all the time on my, you know, YouTube videos and everything else, which is, yes, we do these sort of partitioned activities, exercise for 30 minutes in the morning, and then we, you know, meditate for 20 minutes in the morning. But the amount of hours in between those times is huge, way offsetting the benefit that we get from the 20 minutes. And surely, I know, I've researched meditation. I know what I'm talking about here. The 20 minutes of meditation does bleed into other areas of your life, 100%, absolutely. I just don't think it's necessarily enough for some people given the context of their lives and the things that they're dealing with. I think that building in moments of just being a person who's meditative throughout the day, whose reaction is instinctually to become more present. And I want to share like a super huge win that I had over the weekend. For those of you who, you know, follow me on YouTube, a long time ago, I did a video on this circus that comes to town the last four years, and it's called the Zoppé Italian Family Circus. It's very cute, and it's like we become friends with them, and it's literally a family, the Zoppé family, and it's been, they've been doing it since 1843. Like, it's amazing, and the head of the circus now is Giovanni Zoppé, and it's just all he's known his whole life. He's been in the circus, just great-great-grandfather, parents, just... That's what he does. He travels every year with the circus. It's just such a weird, I'm totally fascinated with these kinds of things. But anyway, they came back, and so they were here over the weekend. And one year I helped put it on and like bring them here because it's just a very cool thing. But ever since then, we've become friends. And so he sort of relies on me when there's like issues and problems, even though I'm not working for them at all. But anyway, so I was there. I took my family, you know, Lisa and I took the kids on, Thursday night. And so we're sitting there here comes Giovanni like in his clown outfit. And he's like, I need help. I've got a sound problem. And so I go, oh, okay. Like, I have no idea, whatever. And so we walk back to the sound area and there's this poor kid there. I guess the sound guy had quit just all of a sudden. And so now they've got this other kid who's never done sound before. And they're trying to run it off a laptop that's running out of batteries. And this whole thing, the show is literally about to start. And it was a panic. And I just clicked with like this, just, it was a switch that turned on. It was not a conscious decision. I just put my hands up on my head and I said out loud, let me think about a solution here. And it was just like my immediate thing wasn't to be like, what do I do? I don't, it was like, let me think about a solution here. And I just blocked them all out. And in my brain, I was like, okay, how do I fix this? My initial instinct was, how do I fix this problem? Not, What do we do if the show fails? What happens if it was like, how do I fix this problem? In 15 seconds, I had a solution to the problem, which is that in my car, because I had come from work, was my laptop, and I carry a flash drive. So I ran to my car because I can freaking run, right? How great is it to be that useful that I'm in shape enough to like sprint out to my car? These things make a difference to me in my brain. I want to be this. I come back in with a laptop and the thing, and I transfer the music over to my laptop. We unplug, plug in, boom, show's rolling. Eventually, they found the charger to their laptop, and at intermission, they switched back over to theirs. It's neither here nor there. The point is through this practice, which I practice. If you're just joining me, I am living. I'm walking the talk. Okay, I am a small stepper. I'm not perfect, never would claim to be. I'm in my own practice, the way that my clients are in their practices, the way that hopefully some of you are in your practices. It's what I'm one of everybody. I'm doing the same thing everybody else is. Okay, I've been doing it longer than most people because I was doing it before I started talking about it. But I'm in my practice, and these are the things that we notice. And I talked about this in a few episodes ago, I think. But all of a sudden, it's like you're watching this happen. And later, I was like, that was pretty cool. Just this immediate, like, let me think of a solution. And then just, it happened. I was able to apply a calm consideration of just, let's lay this down and figure out a workaround here. Let's figure out a workaround. Here's how you figure out workarounds. Just so you know, little tidbit of info here. You figure out a workaround by minimizing the stress in any given moment so that you can actually frickin' think of a workaround. If you let the stress get on top of you, if you let the stress take over you, you can't figure out a workaround. Guess what else this applies to? The body. I've talked about it before. When you run or exercise in a way that is minimally stressful, your body creates workarounds for what you're doing. It learns how to be more efficient. It learns how to handle the weights that you put on that weight bar that you're lifting. It responds to say, okay, my workaround is I'm going to build muscle here, here, and here because this person is having me do this work that I wasn't doing before. But they're not throwing me into just a panic of stress and too much crap that I've got to figure out how to get through in the moment and at the risk of my own health and injury. But they're doing it in a minimally stressful way. So yeah, I can figure out a workaround here. I've created an environment and a context that is doable. In the moment, then, as I was in the circus, and there's, you know, hundreds of people in the crowd watching this happen because they're all wondering why the hell the show hasn't started. I'm able to, in this moment anyway, next time I could totally flub. Next time I could just pee my pants, just immediately, just urine. Did that help? But in that moment, I was able to drown everybody else out and get to a place of minimal stress where I was able to then be able to consider and figure out a workaround. That is the application of the small steps in practice. That's the application of running exercising in any way that is minimally stressful because it allows your body to figure out a workaround to allow you to do that thing better. Same thing with the mind, you guys, mind, body, boom, you with me? Okay. I'm drinking Numi turmeric tea. Numi turmeric. I was going to make a dumb joke about Numi being about the new me. Okay. I just went on a little bit of a ride there. Did you notice that? Did you notice how I just was like out of the and on your mark, get set, go. And then there I was and here I am. Okay. So a few quick little stupid announcements, right? Health Made Simple is a meal plan system that Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete, and I crafted together. And it's really cool because now it's sort of been in play since May. But it has a lot of people signed up for it, which is pretty cool. But we're also constantly making improvements, including to the website itself, and more photos are coming, and it's very cool. So it's like a constant evolution. There's more recipes on the way. Like it's very cool. So we're making it more user-friendly. A lot of the initial signups, we gave them a discount and asked them to give us feedback. So we're making lots of changes based on that feedback. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, nomeatathlete.com/meal-plan-system. Okay, done. This episode is actually brought to you, however, by you guys, by those of you who are supporting this by coming here to listen, by giving me iTunes ratings and or reviews, and by donating to the podcast, and by purchasing, you know, Approaching the Natural podcast related merchandise, like the growing fame of the Nutty Nut Nut shirts. Still selling those bad boys. I'm happy to see them go. It's so fun. I will reprint these shirts, guaranteed. This could just be the shirt I just do forever. And so pretty cool on that. Now, I will tell you that because I've shipped some international packages. The website, like if you're international and you sign, you try to buy a shirt and the international costs seem high, if you buy like multiple things, fret not, because I will refund you. Like if it's just the way the website works, it doesn't quite calculate correctly the shipping costs. So somebody ordered from England and they ordered a bunch of stuff and I packed it, and what they paid, or is Australia actually, what they paid in shipping was way more than what I spent. So I refunded them the difference. Okay. So just so you know, like, don't let that stop you. It's expensive to ship internationally, but I'm not going to, like, it's just the website doesn't calculate it correctly. Okay. Dig. Okay. For you guys who are wondering who I am, and by now, if you're still with me, then does it really matter? I mean, does it really matter? I am a certified nutritionist. What I call myself is a small steps coach. That's what I really do. Nutrition and food are part of the small steps process, to be sure, but not the thing. You can go to SidGarzaHillman.com. You can put your email address in the little pop-up thing there and get a free chapter of my book, which, by the way, is on food. You can donate. You can buy the stuff. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Right? Got it? Okay. Another little quick announcement just by business. The contact form was a bug. I don't know what it was. It was a mistake, I wasn't getting. If you sent me an email via the contact form on the website, I didn't get it. It works now, but like 3 weeks ago, it wasn't working. And luckily, somebody who just coincidentally was from England said, "Oh, I sent you a contact form email, but I'll just email you here." And I was like, "I never got it." And so I talked to my web person, and she was like, "Oops!" And so she fixed the problem, and now I'm getting them. So just in case you're like, "He says he responds to emails, but he didn't respond to me," there's a really, really good chance that I did not get your email. Okay, so either email me at podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, or send me an email through the contact form, because it's working now. Okay. One thing I wanted to mention, by the way, is I got a donation. I told you guys, like, I loved the donations are so cool and awesome. But what's cool is that I'm getting donations like, you know, $2 a month, like $2 a month. Like, it's so cool. It's very cool. So thank you to everybody who's donated. But they're coming in little bits, and you know, it adds up, because multiple people do that and it makes a huge difference. Okay. So if you can, you know, kick me a couple bucks and that doesn't stress you out, great. If not, don't worry about it. It's a free podcast. Okay. However, one of the donations I got from a guy in Montana, which is a state, by the way, and I love that state. Just been there a few times actually now. But anyway, he donated, and there's a little place to leave a note. And what he wrote, I'm going to share with you, which is this. He said, "Thank you for the podcasts. They help," quote, this is his words, ready? Quote, "They help me return to myself throughout the week," end quote. The podcast help him return to himself throughout the week. Is that not the coolest thing in the entire world? Is it? Because I think it is. I think it's one of the coolest things in the freaking world, because that's what I come here every week to do. And what I kind of touched upon earlier is when I've gotten criticism on this podcast, and overwhelmingly, like if you look at the ratings, like they're really good. You guys have been super supportive and awesome. And I think that I'm helping people. I really do, because I'm hearing from a lot of people. So fine. I mean, that's otherwise, why would I bother? But for some people, the criticism can be like, "Oh, he revisits certain things." And I do. I mean, there's new stuff, but I certainly revisit. And at the point that you're like, "Oh, I've heard this before," don't listen to the podcast anymore. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't want you to come here and listen to the podcast expecting new groundbreaking research on vitamin B12, because I'll bring it up if it comes. But that stuff honestly bores me, unless it's like, holy crap. But most stuff, like I said, we kind of know. But this is the way of implement. This is a podcast dedicated to a philosophy of health and happiness, of implementing change. And of course, I talk about research and I talk about nutrition and I touch on those things, but overwhelmingly, this is about a reminder to you guys and different ways to look at things, so that what happens for him happens for you, which is that you return to yourself you maybe use this as one of the things that you do to recheck in, to reground once a week. That is what I come here every week to do. I mean, that's exactly what I come here every week to do. I don't want to do another, you know, an episode next week on a new top five superfoods. It's out there. Go search on that stuff. There's amazing websites and all sorts of podcasts and things on the paleo diet and all these amazing things. They're out there. Go check them out. This ain't that thing. And if revisiting these kinds of themes weekly, if they become redundant to you, then maybe you've played this out. Maybe you're a small stepper and you're like, I got this, Sid. I've been making amazing changes. I have a nice long view of change. I realize that if I'm doing something for years, that's when it really starts to make a difference. And I got this. I've been listening to you for 3 years and now I'm sort of dialed in on this and I'm making changes and I'm bringing in new things and I'm living in a way that's completely like me and I feel amazing. Then you're done. And I, more power to you. I think it's freaking fantastic. But for some people, like this person who donated to the podcast and left me this message, this is, for him, right now anyway, what this is about. And I am inspired. I think that is the most amazing. I can't top that. I can't top that I have played a part in helping somebody remind them who they are, not who I think they should be, not who the little things they should eat to be thin on a scale, but to remind somebody who they already are, the power and strength they have. Because as the week goes on, your guard comes down. And by the way, so just to jump ahead a little bit, I did a YouTube, I post twice a week. So if you haven't subscribed to my channel, please subscribe. I'm getting new subscribers every week. It's very cool. One of the YouTube was I let my guard down. And it's about what I call the day drain, like this moment of in the morning when we get up in the morning, we've got plans and we just like, okay, I'm going to eat this and not eat this. And I talk about it in the video, so I'm not going to blow it. But the point is by the end of the day, our guard comes down, we're fatigued. And it's like, you know, all the things we sort of planned on doing, we could sort of talk ourselves out of. And it happens to me too. It's like, I know that by the end of the day, even if I don't want to have XYZ for dinner, there's a pretty damn good chance, unless I get some help, that I'm going to have that thing. Cause I can talk myself into it. I'm a runner. If for no other reason, I'll be like, yeah, you're a runner. It doesn't matter. One night, not blah, blah, blah. But then if I regret it, that's my problem. Then I don't want to do what I just did. Sometimes I eat the stuff that is not necessarily that healthy, but it's by I want it to be by choice for everybody. I want it to be by choice. If you're going to eat something less than healthy, don't regret it. Just get into it and enjoy it. The thing is if you do that multiple times and you don't feel good in your body, you're going to start regretting it. That's what's happened to me. The point of the video was to say, here's what happens is the biggest plans we have, by the end of the day, our guard is down. And then we sometimes derail. And so the small steps approach helps minimize those times. But on a daily basis, it's maybe getting some help or putting a note on your refrigerator. And I made some suggestions in the video. But the point I'm trying to make is, this podcast for many people all over the world is that thing for, like, I just talked about the day drain, but there's also a week drain. There's also, like, by the end of the week of work and this and that, you're like, oh my, woo, and then boom, you're back. And if you're just joining me, what I do every week is what's called the dial back day. I have a hashtag dial back day. I put a hashtag, I put a little number, I put a little pound sign in the front because that's what the kids are doing, dial back day. And that's the idea, that by the end of that week, when it's like that steady decline and on the weekends I eat a little much and it's fun, but I'm digging it great, but then I want to reset my clock. Come Monday today, I want to reset my clock. So what I did today is just drank water all day, no food. I had plenty of food yesterday, guys, no problem. Plenty of food. Lisa's birthday was over the weekend. We had a big feast. It was awesome. No regrets. Just amazing. But man, was I looking forward to my dial back day today. Just like, oh, put some jars of water together and walk out the door. Plenty of energy throughout the day. No problems. And that's what I did. I reset the clock. I returned to myself. And then I start the new week. And if I have to do that every week for the rest of my life, so freaking be it. Because it's right now, it's helping me live well. And if it doesn't, then I'll change it up. I'll figure out a workaround. Dig? Okay. One last things. You can go to SidGarzaHillman.com, by the way, to find out. There's links to Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. It's all Sid Garza Hillman. That's it. Just @SidGarzaHillman. Okay. This week I'm going to Atlanta. I'm leaving Thursday night, my house anyway, spending the night at my sister's, maybe. I don't know. Getting up very early the next morning. and flying out of San Francisco to Los Angeles and then Los Angeles to Atlanta. And that's what will be happening on Friday. And then I'll be speaking on Saturday, November 12th, 2016 in Atlanta at the Atlanta Veg Fest. And I'll be there all day, by the way. So if you're there, please come say hello. You know how it is when you travel and you're like, what do? I don't know anybody. And then somebody comes up and they're like, oh, I listen to your podcast. And I'm just the awkward, they go like, hey, I listen to your podcast. That's so great. Nice to meet you. And I'm just keeping them around. Just keep talking. They're like, yeah, it'd be better if I was listening to this on my podcast, on my iPod again, because this is getting creepy. I'm like, why don't you stay? Why don't you come over for dinner? You want to come over for dinner? You want to come to the hotel? I'll buy you a drink. Do you want me over to drink? I'm just kidding, you guys. Jiminy Christmas. That's just the turmeric talking anyway. No, but for real, I love meeting people in person. I do. Another listener email. Got this from a regular longtime listener. And I actually shot a YouTube video that was inspired by this. And if you're listening to this person that you know who you are, I will email you back. Sometimes I'm like doing the videos anyway because I'm sort of on a schedule with that, and somebody emails me and there's a, you know, it inspires me to kick that in as one of the themes because I know it's what everybody, you know, is dealing with oftentimes. And this was about comparison. It's about, you know, feeling inadequate in comparison to other people. And the point I make in the video, which I think you should watch and subscribe, is simply that if you're going to compare, then go all the way and really take into consideration the entirety of that person's life. And here's what I mean. I'm a runner. So if I compare myself to another 47-year-old man who is running, I'm either going to be better than that guy or worse than that guy. If I'm not as good as that guy, I could maybe feel inadequate. But my argument is that I'm only looking at one part of that person's life and certainly only one part of my life. And oftentimes we'll look at somebody and we'll say, wow, they're so much more successful than I am, meaning they make more money. But they may not be as happy, they may not be as healthy, and maybe you've taken steps in your life to round things out so that in other ways you're doing extremely well and way better than you are just as the narrow view runner person. So the point is comparison really falls away when you realize that it only counts when you're apples to apples. And just because somebody's a better runner than I am might mean that they've constructed their lives to be all or mostly about running, and therefore they can devote more time and energy to it, and therefore they become a better runner. Well, I could do that too. That's just one of the things for me. I'm shooting YouTube videos. If I didn't shoot YouTube videos, which take me about 8 to 10 hours a week to do two videos, then I would have 8 to 10 hours more per week to run. So, or exercise or something. So again, there's the give and take of that whole picture, right? Okay. So that's the whole idea there. Okay, good. The other one was about the guard down, letting the guard down at the end of the day. Okay, good. I'm glad we got past that. Okay, one last email from the podcast listener, because this is another one, because this was hilarious. I love The Onion. If you guys don't know the satirical paper, The Onion, you just got to check this out because it's great. Anyway, this was the headline, so I'm not going to wax over it too much because it's all the funny part is just in the headline itself. Here's the headline. Scientists discover eating serves function other than easing anxiety. That's The Onion. I mean, how paradise is that? Scientists discover eating serves function other than easing anxiety. Okay, now on to the next real article. I'm not even joking. I'm sorry to get negative, but Jiminy freaking Christmas. Somebody sent me this too, bicycling.com. Bacon. It's an article about how good bacon is. And it said, you know, it's gotten a bad rap. The UN said it causes cancer, processed meats, things like that. But quote, and I'm quoting, this is not a joke. This is not The Onion. It sounds like The Onion, but this is actually real. Quote, there are benefits to indulging, not eating or just dabbling or just indulging. There are benefits to indulging in bacon, says a certified clinical nutritionist with STAM Nutrition in Honolulu, Hawaii. Quote, ready? Sodium, that's salt, guys. Sodium is really important during hard races as it is a key electrolyte that supports adrenal gland function to help your body deal with the stress of the competition. Of course, bacon also, quote, bacon, of course, contains protein, which helps maintain your muscles. Also, quote, saturated fat can help provide a feeling of euphoric joy in the midst of a physical hardship. It makes me want to not sell Nutty Nut Nut shirts because that's so Nutty Nut Nut that my shirts, it devalues. That's so Nutty Nut Nut that my shirts are less Nutty Nut Nut. How is that even possible? So here's why you should eat bacon, because it has salt in it and fat and protein. That's why you should eat bacon. Do you remember I talked about 2 weeks ago about how just crazy it is to discuss food in terms of like minimal things, but also in terms of like calories, like protein and fat, when you're totally denying the other stuff that is there to damage your freaking body? Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Are you, as if there's no healthier ways to get sodium, by the way, celery, and protein in everything, and healthy fat? Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me with the bacon thing? Eat bacon, okay? But don't do it because you want to be a better bicycler, okay? That's my only problem. Eat bacon, but don't fool yourself that it's healthy, okay? Don't fool yourself that it's healthy. If you're a small stepper and you eat bacon, it's because that's where it is, and if you want to move it out, you'll figure out minimal ways to adjust that behavior and to bring in other healthy stuff, okay? But don't bicycling for bacon, okay? Don't bicycle for bacon. You heard it here first, okay? Don't bicycle for bacon. It's funny to me, but kind of not funny, because somebody's going to read that and go, well, damn, that just gave me license to just bacon up on my next ride over the Molokai volcano. Is there a Molokai volcano? I don't know. Is there a Molokai? I don't know. Where am I? I'm on the Wim Hof program. I'm in week 8 now. Week 8. Here's what I did. I'm giving you guys updates every week, right? You're enjoying this? Good. Okay. This week is kind of the same as last. Here's the thing about the Wim Hof. I told you I wasn't going to weigh in on this in terms of like recommending it until I'm done. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm still not going to totally vouch for it, but I'm getting close to saying this is kind of cool. You guys should try it out. I'm not there yet. I'm not there. But one of my criticisms is that it may be a language barrier because it's Dutch based and Wim is Dutch. And so there's probably, but the PDF, like the corresponding materials are so poorly written and they're not consistent with what's online. So like you go online and watch the video and it has information underneath and that doesn't correspond to what's in the PDF. And there's a whole bunch of confusing stuff. And I'm not the, if I were the only one, I'd be like, it's just me. But if you go onto like the private Facebook thing, everyone's just like, so what's this? Like, what are you doing this week? Cause it doesn't even explain it. Like there's a lot of stuff that they could, in like an hour and a half, they could just make it so much better. Literally like an hour and a half on that PDF, you could just clean it up so much to make it totally clear. So there's certain things where I'm just like, guys, you could do a better job. You could do a better job, but it's whatever. I'm getting the gist. But this week is sort of the same as last week, which they don't explain. So I put that on Facebook. I said, is this the week like the same as last week, except for this one little change? And finally, somebody's like, yeah. I was like, good. Would have been helpful if they had said that. Anyway, this week was one challenge. In addition to like the daily, you know, cold therapy kinds of things, it was one challenge, which is either to sort of get into a river or ocean that was really cold or a bathtub full of ice water. I chose the bathtub. I was going to do the river, but it was like I was teaching at the Stanford Inn and I had to come. By the way, I work at the Stanford Inn and run their wellness center. Boom, StanfordInn.com. Did I tell you guys we have a running add-on? I don't know if I mentioned this. I crafted a come to the Stanford Inn any time of year and you place this enhancement package on top of your stay. And assuming I'm in town, which, you know, I am sometimes, it comes with classes and meals, but runs. It's a healthy running add-on package. So you just like book your stay and you go, I'm going to put this package on. And then it becomes your own private retreat. So I'll take you on trails around town, or if you're not a trail runner, I'll take you on road runs. But amazing views and super fun, and I'll teach you some nutrition stuff, and you'll be having great dinners and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, so I just added, I'm super excited about that. So, you know, Matt and I did that running retreat together, and that was super fun, but that was a fixed date retreat, and we will be doing that again next year. But in the meantime, like any time of year that's convenient for you, you can put on this retreat and hang out with me and go on an amazing trail run in Mendocino, which is unbelievable. One more announcement is that my Mendocino Coast 50K is happening. What I did was, and I'm going to say it here, what I did was I emailed the people who had signed up for my mailing list, which is like 300 and almost 400 people on this mailing list, through the website, MendocinoUltra.com. And then I emailed last year's runners and I said, look, I'm going to give you guys first shot because people had been emailing me, when's it going to open? So I didn't want to, you know, wanted to give them first shot. So I opened registration a mere 6 days ago. I am like 90% sold already. Like it's great. I knew, I had a feeling it was going to happen, but I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. So I only have a very small amount of spots left. I have a hard cap of 150 people, period. So I'll tell you guys, podcast listeners too, if you're thinking about signing up, please do not wait because I will not expand past 150. Like I can't. The state parks and the other permitting body were like, we're good at 150. And I'm like, me too. I love it. I love it's intimate and it's fun, but it's real. Okay. Last year I expanded it because I only had it at 100 and they let me go up to 150, but this year it's 150. Got it? So I would really want to avoid people being upset that they couldn't get in because they waited too long. Okay. So I'm almost sold out. So just get that done. This time last year, at the end of November last year, I had, count them, eight signups. Eight. I'm at 135 as of this morning. Crazy. So cool. I can't wait. Just heard from a client today who's coming out. I get to meet that person in person, which is so awesome and fun. So anyway, it's great. I can't wait. That's just kind of it. So if you guys, for podcast listeners, I haven't even started promoting the race at all. Like that was, I'm going to wait for like another 2 weeks to even just start thinking about that. Okay. Okay. Back to the Wim Hof thing. So the ice bath. So I literally went to the market, bought a 20-pound bag of ice, put it in my bathtub, filled it up with cold water and ice, swirled it around, and just got in that thing with, you know, some of the breathing techniques and all these kinds of things. I documented that on the video, you can see, but felt pretty empowered by that. As I was filling it up, I put my hand in it to kind of mix the ice around, and it was painful, and I was like, oh no, I've been doing this 8 weeks, like this shouldn't be. But I took my hand out, I got it all filled up. It was, I mean, ice cold, like for real. And I just did the 3 minutes of like breathing exercises, and then I eased my way in and I sat down in that thing and I did pretty damn well. I felt my core like maintain its temperature. It was pretty amazing stuff, you guys. So 8 weeks in, that's how that went. I was very emboldened by that thing. And you know, if you guys are interested in, if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but what's the freaking, like, yeah, so there's real stuff about cold therapy and there's real stuff about the breathing technique too. Okay, I've talked about it before, go back and listen to old episodes, but it's real. This is training the body for strength and oxygen utilization and you know, fat burning and all these kinds of cool things. Okay, where am I at? I'm at this point. And this has come up a lot because Jeff Stanford and I are like, we talk about branding the Stanford Inn and I help them with marketing a little bit. And we're really trying to like hone on the joyous sort of aspects of living well. I think we get lost, and this is one of the talks I do around the country and did in Edinburgh too, in Scotland, but is to remind people of why they're embarking on these decisions potentially to live better or to exercise or to eat healthier is that you're doing it for joy. I mean, you are. You're trying to live better. Nobody is trying to lose weight on a diet because they want to live worse. They want to feel better in their bodies and more power to them for that. But I want people to remember always as a backdrop, before all else, that you are designed for happiness. You are designed to be happy. You want to be happy because in those states of happiness is minimal stress. It's in those moments of happiness is this, it's peace. You feel good. You feel powerful. You feel strong. You feel healthy. You feel energetic. You feel like you. Remember that email, that message from the donation. You return to yourself. Those moments where you are, you feel so good. It's crazy. Part of this training of small steps of actually what this involves, which is, you know, building a steps list and manipulating the steps to be always in the context of your life, something that isn't stress causing or just adaptively stress causing, but not too much stress, just enough to allow your body to figure out the workaround before you bring in a little bit more. Part of this training is to notice joy, is to notice the parts of your life day to day, the moments, in your life. And so what I was thinking of is sort of like I call like the person in the red sweater. It's like that moment where you find a red sweater online, probably Anthropologie. I'm just guessing because I know you. I know I track your sort of buying practices, and I know that you love Anthropologie. So good on you. It's not overpriced at all. Trust me. It's not. It's fine. The person in the red sweater. When you find that red sweater online, you're like, I love that damn red sweater. That is my red. I want that red sweater. Then all of a sudden, every day, you're noticing red sweaters. You're noticing sweaters. You're, oh my God, that person has a red sweater. That person, you're noticing that thing because it's in your sights as something that you want, and it's taken up. I did a, you know, real estate, buy real estate, invest in real estate episode. Like it's taking up real estate in your brain, and you notice more. They were already there. They're always there, but now you notice them. You have built in this thing on your radar that now you're, that's the filter that you're now experiencing life through. Now you're saying, oh, well, there's that red. You're noticing this. When I wanted a car years ago, I just all of a sudden see more of them on the road because that's the car I wanted. So I'm noticing those things. That's what, in a way, that's what the small steps training does is you it's the training of noticing. But in the small steps system, it's about training yourself to find moments of joy, to find moments that are happy for you. It's not that those moments weren't there before. It's just that you're not noticing them enough. Or maybe you are. I'm just saying if you're not a happy person, maybe you're not noticing those moments that already exist for you. Maybe you're so wrapped up in being miserable for your job that you're not noticing the joy that could be had with the family member that you're sitting across from at that same moment. But as you become a seasoned small stepper, all of a sudden, oh, here's a moment of joy. Oh, here's, because it's that filter. That's what you're coming into your life looking for that. That's a whole change in the way that you live your life. That is, in a way, how I see it, taking control of your life. It is you looking for this thing now because you weren't looking before. Maybe you were looking for scale, weight, and diets, but you were missing all the joy that you could have that would change your relationship to food in the first place, that would make you more able to achieve a healthy weight in the first place, because probably it had very little to do with food and probably had to do with the fact that you were stressed and unhappy, and those are the reasons that fed your sort of relationship to food and your actions regarding food. One of the things that I do with clients when I work with them, and by the way, I am a coach. Well, somebody emailed and said it was hard to find about my services. Like, and I take like one client at a time. That's for real. One, I sometimes there's crossover, but not much because I invest a lot of energy and time in a good way. And you can go to SidGarzaHillman.com under the About, and you can see services if that's ever of interest to you. Go for it. But one thing I do with clients is, in the month that they work with me, is to play this kind of idea, which is to really not talk too much about how they've been living, but to focus mostly on who they are as an exercise. I mean, we have to consider how we've been living because that's how we see like the conflict between like, I've been overeating, but I'm not really a person who overeats deep down. That's why I don't feel good about the fact that I'm overeating. That's the me, not me game of this. But during the month, it's like, let's not even talk about how you've been living. Let's like hyper focus on who you are. Just every time something comes up that you're frustrated with, okay, but who are you in this situation? Whether you did something that was in line with that or not is inconsequential while you're doing this work. Who are you? Well, I binged last night. Okay, you binged, fine. But who are you? Well, I'm not a person who binges. I'm a person who eats healthy food in a way that is really good. And sometimes if I indulge, I'll do it, but it doesn't overtake me and I don't go too far. That's who you are? Oh, good. Okay, moving on. And it's this, that's the training. It's the training such that in that moment next time, or maybe five times down the line, that you come to that food that you previously binge on, all of a sudden, like what happened to me at the circus, the instinctual, the unthinking reaction now becomes more you, where you go, you know, I don't want to eat this anymore. I've eaten enough and I'm good and I can walk away from the table. Boom. It's the training of that. Then when getting used to that whole process, it's sort of, the question is, okay, well, now that you're used to reminding yourself constantly of who you are, that's a practice in and of itself. The first task I've talked about, go back to old episodes if you're not familiar with it, but writing about who you are in, as if it's happening now, that's an amazing exercise, and that's what feeds the steps list, to be sure. But part of the steps list is then working to constantly recognize and remind yourself of who you are. That's, again, I'm going to come back to that donation person who left that message, returning to yourself. You learn the practice of reminding yourself who you are. Again, we can beat ourselves up for the stuff that we've been doing, but what I think is that most of that stuff is unchosen by us. And what I want people to do at the end of, sort of toward the end of the work that I do with people, is to then look back at their lives and say, okay, day to day, how much of your life is unchosen? Are you ruled by the unchosen? Are you ruled by the unchosen? Meaning, what behaviors are things that you do that you didn't make a conscious decision to do that thing? Nobody makes a conscious decision to be an alcoholic. I mean, maybe, but I've never met one. They start out drinking, and then because of probably, I'm guessing, okay, I'm totally making a generalization here, so freaking don't worry about it, that probably there were things in life that allowed them to seek refuge and respite, and their drug of choice happened to be alcohol, and eventually they did it enough where it became an addiction. But it wasn't a conscious decision to, like, now I'm going to embark upon becoming an alcoholic. It was, this is solving my problem in the moment, or at least that's my perception, which is that I'm depressed or I'm unhappy or I don't feel like I have purpose or hope. And so when I have a few beers, that stuff falls away and it's great, but it could be light box food for you and cocaine for another person. But the question is, at what point do you realize I'm ruled mostly by things I did not choose? My food issues, I didn't say it's time for me to just try this on to be unhealthy with regard to food. And I ain't talking about the food itself. I'm talking about your relationship to food, right? How much of your life maybe right now is unchosen versus what is chosen? My guess is that for most people, at least people that come to me, a lot of their life or maybe a higher percentage of their life is actually unchosen. And it's been that way for so long that they make the mistake of thinking that the things that they haven't chosen are really them. And I'm here to say most of the time it ain't actually you. And the way to get on top of that is to not focus on what you didn't choose, because then, again, you're just like, oh, I'm just this and I'm that and I'm bad that way and I'm bad that way and I have no control that way. And instead say, yeah, that's happening, but I am choosing this. If given a choice, I would do this thing differently. If given a choice, I would do that thing differently. That's the beginning of a process of changing the proportion of unchosen to chosen. That's the small steps approach, among other things. But that's what that is. It's changing the unchosen to chosen. It's replacing, not focusing on what you haven't chosen and getting pissed at yourself about it, but replacing it with thoughts and reminders of who you are. Replacing the thinking, the negative thinking and the hopelessness and the depression, and saying, I'm not going to try to change that stuff. I'm just going to replace it over time. I'm just going to just chip away whenever I possibly can, in whatever ways that I can. And one of the things I wanted to mention is what I call squeeze the joy, which is that, again, this is coming down to the training of small steps, which is to train people to notice moments of recovery, to notice moments of joy where that may have been there before, like I said, but you're not trained to see them. We're trained to see the negative. We love the trolls on the comments on the da-da-da and the negative news. That we're inundated with that. So we're not trained to seek out joy in every moment we possibly can. That takes work. Isn't that sad? That takes work to actually be a person who looks for joy and finds joy because that's what they're looking for. We're inundated without choice by things that are negative way more than we are things that are positive. It's what we're inundated with. It's up to the small steppers to say, okay, I'm balancing that out with, I'm going to start training myself how to look for joy. And I'm going to train myself to allow my body and mind to sort of figure out workarounds. Well, let me think about, in the stressful job that I have, are there moments where I can find joy? Well, the more you get used to that, you'll find them. They're going to appear. Oh, there it is. I didn't know that was there, but now I've been doing this long enough. I wanted that red sweater. Now I recognize red sweaters everywhere. Okay, I want joy. Now I recognize joy. Now I see joy where I didn't see it before because I realized that that's what I really, really want, not a scale weight. I want happiness. So damn it, I'm going to find, oh my gosh, there it is. And there it is. Whoa, I didn't see it. Were you hiding before? No, but you were just in a filter of gloom and doom. And you didn't notice that I was here all the time. Waiting for you to freaking notice me? How dare you, sir? How dare you not notice me? That's what the joyful moment says. But squeeze the joy. Here's what I mean by squeeze the joy. This is a practice in and of itself too, and this is one that I work through my own in my own life, which is there. It seems to me that there's like times where, you know, we'll watch a movie as a family and it's super fun, and really it would be totally fun in and of itself. But then we add food is like the best thing that like you can take any joyful moment and just add food to it, and it just ramps it up 87%. Like you can be sitting in a theater watching just a kick-ass movie, and you're like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. But I can make it better with butter popcorn and just those very, very sour worms. And I'm not even talking about the jelly. I mean, literally, they're actual worms, but they just squeeze lemon juice on them. Have you guys not had those? That's what I eat when I watch a movie. We can watch a really kick-ass movie, and we know we can ramp it up in a socially acceptable way. It's crazy when you think about it, but also fun. Like, I get it. Like, we do movie night at home, but we also do a meal on top. The squeeze the joy practice is can you squeeze, if food is taken out of that picture for a moment, can you squeeze more joy out of the other thing to sort of equalize that out? I believe that you can. I think the practice is being more present again to joy, is training yourself to look for joy so that if you don't have this sort of artificially spiked kind of joy that comes from light box food, drugs, alcohol, etc., you're gonna learn if you're a small stepper to squeeze more joy out of the stuff that isn't the food and the drugs and the cocaine. Then you all of a sudden go like, I don't have that stuff. I'm gonna squeeze more joy out of this movie experience. I'm gonna be more present to it. I'm gonna be more present to the fact that I'm sitting with a family and experiencing this with somebody I love or a friend that I love, and I'm gonna get more joy from there because I'm not getting it from the food this time. And when you learn how to squeeze more joy out of a situation, you become less reliant on the sort of artificial ramping up that comes from, again, light box food, drugs, and alcohol or whatever. You learn how to squeeze joy out of places where you didn't think it existed, but you actually can get more out of it if you learn how to get more out of it. And how do you learn how to get more out of it? You train yourself to notice. You admit to yourself that you want to be happier and you want to be healthier. And that's where you start. And then you train yourself via the small steps, my small steps approach, to be more aware of your life day to day, to be more present in your life, because every moment of awareness is a moment where you are you. And when you are you, you're going to be finding more joy. Trust me, it's going to feel good. You'll be like, wow, this is better than any drug ever, ever in the history of mankind, ever. Okay? Because it's you, and you go, this feels at the depth of my soul. Holy crap. Big time. Got it? All right. Okay, I'm going to finish up. By just a couple brief moments. And this is just the title of this is Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself. Okay, look, it's a reference. You guys probably know it. Chickity check yourself. I don't even look, I'm very street. Did you guys not know? I'm very, very hip. There's a lot of sort of cultural statements and things that are in the world. I know them all. That's what I do. I'm a scientist now. I'm like an urban scientist. I know all what the cool kids are doing. I know it all. And I am that thing. It's what I do. I'm very street. Check yourself before you wreck yourself in the small steppers fashion is actually quite relevant. And this is what I want to finish up by talking about. And this is because I work at a place. Because I work at a place and because I work with other people, I do notice on occasion that people come, there are certain people that come to work, and I just want to acknowledge first and foremost by saying this, that we all have stuff that we deal with. Nobody I've ever met is like, I'm stuff free. It's only that we have the ability or not to sort of keep that at bay enough, like keep ourselves in check enough to where we don't derail. But I don't know if it's where I live or whatever, but I've seen plenty of people who actually derail. Like they can't keep themselves in check. They're not bad people, I'm telling you. They have heavy stuff going on that it has become a situation where they no longer can keep themselves in check enough to function in that context of their job or whatever it is. And it is taking them down. And again, like most things that I talk about where we keep things in balance, we try in our lives, because we're designed to do so, to minimize anger, to minimize fear, to minimize stress. We can't get up out of bed unless we do. We can't make a living for ourselves unless we do. We have to deal with that on some level. We have to keep that stuff in check because we walk out our door with that stuff live and we are gone. We can't function well because that stuff's just on our sleeve and it will affect. And so the balance of this has to do with compartmentalization. The balance to this is saying, we know what our issues are, or maybe we don't know all of them, but we know like things that we battle with. I think we're all fairly aware of that whole thing. And we have to, in a sense, compartmentalize that stuff so that we can get out our door in the morning, so we can raise our children, so we can make a living, all these kinds of things that are absolutely necessary for us to live at all or to eke out some semblance of a good life. I think the balance occurs when you talk about too much compartmentalization, when we stuff everything so far down to keep ourselves in check so we can hold down the job, but then if we keep it that far down, we suffer because it's going to come out probably physically. That's where I see a lot of the, you know, carrying extra weight, like I talked about a reason, like figuratively and literally, like carrying extra weight, like not dealing at all. We push it so far down, but somehow it comes out because the body just can't hold on to that level of stress without it being manifest in some way. And usually it's going to be manifest in our case, in the human species, in some food-related way. Too little food, too much food, some imbalance in the way that we nourish ourselves or not. But then there's too little compartmentalization where we're not putting that stuff in a place in a healthy ways that now we're going to work with that stuff. It's out there. We walk in the door and it's just like a freaking just smack in the face of everybody that you work with. That's just massively because it's there. And that's like, in a way, too little compartmentalization. So there's a balance there of how do we succeed better in the modern world is a balance of compartmentalizing and dealing. Compartmentalizing and dealing. Success to me is striking that balance of you compartmentalize enough to get into the world, raise your kids without being a nutty nut in a bad way, going to work without being a nutty nut in a bad way, being functional, but then finding other times to deal with the things that you've been compartmentalizing so they don't stay and fester, so they don't stay and rot in your physical body and manifest in the diseases of the modern world, stress-related and otherwise. You stuff something down so fast, so hard, and you're stressed, and you fake it as much as you possibly can at work to be, you know, to hold down that sort of semblance of normalcy. But then next thing you know, you're binging on food because it comes out in sort of weird ways. And then you have digestive problems because chronic stress weakens digestion. So you have ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease and all these things that are happening. Irritable bowel. These are happening in our guts because we are dealing with chronic stress in unprecedented amounts as a species. And it is not a solution to stress to shove something down and not deal with it. It's just not. But it's also not a solution to stress to just let that stuff come out all the time and say, I can't have a job because I have to deal with this thing all the time. And maybe it's something like you have knowledge of something that happens in the world and it makes you stressed and angry. If you don't put that down a little bit, you will not have friendships. You will not have relationships. You will bum people out. You will make people not want to be with you, furthering your stress. But if you don't deal with it enough, it takes you down as well. That's a huge challenge if you think about it. How do you compartmentalize enough to be functional and live, you know, with your family and do these kinds of things, but then also find the time to sort of take them out of the compartmentalizing just enough to sort of maybe ideally rectify them or fix them to then minimize what you have to shove back down again, to mitigate what you have to shove back down again, to improve what you have to shove back down again, to learn how to deal with better what you have to shove back down again. There's that balance of compartmentalizing and dealing. That's the ongoing sort of idea. And you do, I believe that you do that by, again, just engaging in the small step process, by really tackling the things in your life that you want to improve upon, focusing on the things you want to improve upon, focusing on who you are. A steps list is never, ever, in my coaching, ever, has never been what not to do. Like, maybe one time there was like, decrease your social media by 5 minutes. But really what it is I think that actually didn't occur because I think that was the first incarnation, and it later became take a break for 5 minutes every hour that you're on. See, I shifted the step to a positive of act this way. Don't not do this, but do this instead. That's always the small stepper's way, is to focus on the positive, to focus on action, to focus on moments. Those are the moments that you will find to deal with the things that you're compartmentalizing, because we all compartmentalize because we can't leave our doors unless we do. But we can't keep that stuff compartmentalized too much, because it will come out in ways that are not healthy and in ways that are more stressful than they ever probably would have been otherwise. There's your balance, guys. There's the struggle. And it isn't going to be solved by a 21-day diet, and it isn't going to be solved by increasing your exercise 5 hours a day because you think that's going to be your stress release. It isn't going to be solved by 45 minutes of meditation where you're focusing on your breath. At some point, it has to be little moments where you open the faucet just enough to bring something out to sort of address it and deal with it and decide on action to improve your life in spite of those things. That is the challenge. And it's why I come here every week, and it's why you guys are amazing to write me emails to tell me how this process is helping you and support the podcast however you do. It's, I don't care. Just come listen. It's amazing. Amazing. It's why I come here every week. It really is. If I didn't hear from people, I would not come here every week. Every person that emails me and says, this has helped me, help them. Every person that throws me a couple bucks every month because they write a little note that says, this brings them back to them, you know, every week, is just beyond words. It's beyond words. Okay? I want you to know that. All right. All right, you guys, that's it for me this week. I'm signing off. This is Sid Garza-Hillman. I'm host of this here, a podcast. Come see me in Atlanta, will you? Just come up to me and go, hey, man, what's up? And just set a stopwatch. Just be like, Sid, I want to meet you because I love the podcast and it's really cool to meet you in person. I'm going to start my stopwatch at 1 minute. And at the end of my 1 minute, we're going to just part ways, because otherwise I'm just going to be like, hey, do you want to? You guys are awesome. Listen, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. That's how you shoot me an email. Okay? Thank you to everybody. As always, I will be back next week for episode 165. Of the Approaching the Natural podcast. In the meantime, you guys, take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. It's, you know how to do it. You just got to find the time, and you got to get your brain in a place that says, this is natural and normal for me. Self-care is natural and normal for me. It's what I do. Then you do it better. Dig? I'll talk to you next week, you guys. In the meantime, be well.
all these distractions. I'm waiting to see. What I am against, what I am against, what I am against. And all the violence sings. Against me, what has come up against me? And all the violence sings. Keeping me down.